This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield, and this is a WB2, a game review, UCLA's victory 42-32. Get all those twos and reviews. I love the rhyme. Over the ASU Sun Devils, sticking it to Sparky. And now Chip Kelly is 1-1 versus him and Hermie Herm. And just a great win for the Bruins. Of course, there's a couple things that went wrong there at the end, especially an injury to UCLA's starting quarterback, possibly. But if you're going to try to paint a picture of how you wanted this game to go for the Bruins, I'd say that at the very least the first 45 minutes went absolutely pretty much perfectly. Maybe just one or two redos that you'd want. But the Bruins really had control of this game from the get-go. The only life they gave ASU in the first half was off of a fumble that DTR had, and they more than made up for the rest of the half. They take a 28-7 lead into the half, and then they go up 35-7 before ASU scores any more points, and 42-10 before ASU starts to mount any sort of comeback. And really, as far as that goes, just a nice and I was out at the Rose Bowl, just a nice, fun night at the Rose Bowl. It was one of those ones where, gosh, I don't remember ever showing up to the Rose Bowl and seeing it. And we've talked about how empty the Rose Bowl has been all year. But walking into the game today for homecoming, I got there a couple minutes before game time and walked in. And I don't remember ever seeing it that empty. It was just cavernously empty. But a lot of people were out with homecoming festivities and whatnot, just having a good old time on an early evening game at the Rose Bowl. And so by the time we got midway through it, it had filled up a little bit. I think the attendance was something like 45,000 or so by the time, you know, everybody was in their seats, I think. I mean, still, obviously, it wasn't a huge crowd. But the funny thing was, at the beginning of the game, even when the Bruins, you know, were up 14-7, you know, after the first touchdown, and then ASU scores, and then the Bruins score again, and it's looking like, you know, it just looked like it was going to be the Bruins' night early on even. The crowd really didn't cheer too much at the beginning, but it was pretty cool because by the end of the game, everybody was into it, and every, you know, great play that they made, you know, not necessarily going down the stretch in the fourth quarter, but you know, probably midway through the second quarter, all the way through the end of the third quarter, and the crowd really got into this game as much as they possibly can. You know, I won't say it got super loud at the Rose Bowl because there wasn't enough people there for that, but it definitely, the crowd had been waiting for this, and really, they haven't had anything to celebrate this, anything like this at the Rose Bowl since last year versus USC. I know the Stanford game was exciting, but you know, this is a good one in that regard. A little bit of negative stuff going down at the end, but we'll wait to get to that. First thought about this game is, number one, it was a homecoming game, and geez, they really made the most of a homecoming game, right? First action in a while for a couple of Bruins that we thought were MIA, and that's number one. Kazmir Allen was out there, and he got a couple first downs, which was great, and was running. Had a couple mistakes down at the end, too, with a fumble, but otherwise looked pretty good, and he looked like he was really engaged and excited to be there. Martell Irby also made it back onto the field, which was really awesome to see him, too. You know, we all thought that they were going to be a steady part of the rotation for one reason or another, injuries, you know, academics or whatever, haven't been on the field until now. And then, geez, walk on, wide receiver Fernia, number 36, wearing the Nick Pasquale number. Holy crap. There's a guy that I don't think anybody expected to make any plays, and he made two of the biggest plays of the game with a nice, with two just great catches on a fourth down, a fourth down conversion early, and another nice long kind of outlet pass a little bit later. And that was just fantastic. And DTR was looking for him quite a few times, actually. There's some plays that could have, some more plays could have gone his way, but that was just absolutely spectacular. DTR was, you know, he made a couple mistakes early, the fumble, number one. But I think that he just looked like he was looking for a little bit too much early, but really kind of settled down. And when he needed to make some big plays, he absolutely did. He kept them alive with some great fourth down runs and some great fourth down throws. And all in all, I think you have to take the good and the bad with DTR for this game. And you'll take that every day because he really was making some great plays. But the most important thing coming out of this game is, geez, Josh freaking Kelly, fully operational at this point.
He's just just a baller, man.
He is seriously just a baller, Josh freaking Kelly. And it was so great to see him out there running super hard and running like we have been waiting for him to do all year long. It's been kind of like a slow burn for him in the last couple of games. But 34 for 164, 4.8. Four touchdowns doesn't really even do it justice because, you know, when he needed yards, he went out there and got them, and that was beautiful. And overall, the Bruins, 57 rushes for 225 yards. We will take that every damn time, right? DTR, before he got injured, 16 for 23, 176 yards, 7.7 yards per attempt, which is funny. I think that's right around where I think I set the over-under at 7.5, for goodness sakes. We were talking about on the show, and two touchdown passes, which is good. That's fine. He did have the fumble. The two fumbles, both of them lost. That part's not real great. And of course, he got the last one, like even one, was the one he got hurt on. So certainly, the Bruins have to hope that it's not super bad. But I'll tell you, right when I was walking down down towards the field, I walked by the injury tent right when he was coming out, and he had just a giant pack of ice packed on his knee, which tells you it's a knee injury, and we'll see exactly what that could be. Hopefully it's nothing like a ligament damage or anything like that. Hopefully it's just something, maybe a tweak or a sprain that they can use a brace for or something. But at this point, who knows? He was walking along the sideline, but he was walking very gingerly when I saw him. And that's just one of those ones where, gosh, you hope it's nothing too serious. I know a lot of people want to see Austin Burton a little bit more, but I mean, I don't think you can make an argument right now that DTR has been playing better and better and better, and I think he's definitely the Bruins' best chance to make the most out of whatever they have going this season. The last takeaway I got before we get into a game recap is that Big Balls Chip is back, and now his team can actually back him up a little bit. We were all kind of lamenting the fact that this offense was so just scattershot and could not really do anything competently early in the season, to where he's going for it on fourth, and even against Oregon State. I mean, that's part of the reason they're in that 21-0 hole. But I guess Chip's sticking with this process, and he came out and they made two huge fourth down conversions in the game in the first half, and I think what they had three or four overall. And that was just one of those things that just was putting so much pressure on ASU as they were trying to get their shit together. The Bruins really didn't let him have a chance at it, and they were up 28-7 in the first half, largely because Chip exercised a little bit of faith. Some traditionalists might call it reckless faith, but I mean, if you look at the stats across football, if you're supposed to treat fourth down, especially those short fourth downs, like any other down, really. And Chip did, and tonight it kind of paid off. And the defense was playing well enough that I think even if it didn't pay off, you could make the argument that the defense did its part and then some, especially on some of those like short yardage things early in the game. But Chip went for it, and they were better because of it. So that's something that, we're going to have to see how that goes the rest of the season. But certainly that's what he wanted to do. And now the Bruin offense is actually, and with that running game now actually being functional, even in the little moments, that's something that could be another, huge thing in their favor going down the stretch if they're willing to go out and do that. And also, now you activate Kaz Allen, you activate Martell Irby. If Kaz Allen can hold onto the ball, now you have just, four backs that can make some pretty decent plays back there, Kelly and Felton, of course, being 1 and 1A, and then the other guys contributing. But this could be a very good thing going forward the rest of the season. With that being said, let's just get into a quick little game recap. Why not? This spastic Arizona State team.
The spastic Arizona State team.
Everybody was making such a big deal about them since Herm got there, that they don't lose any games by more than a few points, and that really had been borne out in their record. They've been playing all these close games, and Herm and his coaching acumen was getting them over the hump for the most part. But they're coming off of one of their worst games of Herm Edwards' tenure there, and certainly the worst game of the Jaden Daniels era, where he threw for like 40 yards and like 3 for 80 or something like that. And it was just an absolutely terrible frosh game, and everybody expected ASU to come out and bounce back from that, I think. And they really came out, and they're so shaky to start this game. Two consecutive false start penalties, which they made up for by converting, but then UCLA, the defense, forced a fumble on that that first possession. And with UCLA getting a midfield, Josh freaking Kelly marches him down the field.
He's just a baller, man.
And scores 7-0. And then you're like, oh, we'll live with that. Points off a turnover. And ASU gets the ball again. And on their second drive, the Bruins get off the field with a 3rd-and-8 stop. So it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, at that point, things are going well for the Bruins because they just haven't been able to do that all year, really. So maybe the defense, which, you know, everybody was like, they played that well against Stanford, but Stanford could barely line up and snap the ball with West at quarterback. And so it's like, you know, this defense is going to have to do something 2 weeks in a row to prove it. And they certainly did for most of this game. And I really liked how they came out in this game, and I liked how they were playing most of the game. It seemed like, you know, the front seven, the Bruins, at least up the middle, has been okay at worst, you know, and pretty good at times for most of the games. But of course, everybody's just lamenting about how bad they've been versus the pass and how soft they've been, and how whenever you want 10, 12, 15 yards against this defense, you can just go out and get it. And certainly that wasn't the case for Stanford, but, you know, they pretty much, Stanford gifted them that by, you know, with West couldn't do anything. So they were just naturally being aggressive because they didn't have to honor anything with Stanford. So this really was more of a test because Daniels had proven to be a much better quarterback throughout the season. And to the Bruins' credit, you know, they came out and for most of the game, they were playing much tighter than they had from what I've noticed. You know, being at the Rose Bowl, you know, you can see more of the field. It's not all the TV cameras. And so they looked like they were giving much less of a cushion, playing way more just with like one guy deep. And just the whole defense as a whole, I just feel like they were playing kind of moving forward as opposed to it seemed like the front seven most of the season had been playing like that fairly well, but that the defensive backfield had always been playing kind of on their back feet, you know, playing kind of stepping back, and not this game. Everybody was kind of coming forward, and one of the great plays I saw in the first half, the ASU was trying to convert a fourth down play, and it was kind of like a little, like, not necessarily a swing pass, but they kind of threw the ball to like a wing back or something to their running back, trying to come up in sort of like a midfield through like the slot. And I can't remember what defensive back it was, but he just shot right up the field and made a tackle on that fourth down play and smothered it out. And that's kind of what we're talking about. Instead of kind of running back on so many of these things, they were coming forward. And certainly ASU tried to counter that coming out in the second half by throwing, you know, they had that drive where they kind of went down the field very quickly. They ended up getting a field goal because they had a stupid penalty. Had two long passes, just kind of lollipops that Jaden Daniels threw up there, and they're able to come down the field pretty quick. And, you know, if you're going to play defense a little more aggressively, you're going to give up some of those. But I thought for the most part, it worked well. The defense ended up, you know, at the end of the game, the stats were a little more even. You know, when you look at, you know, the first downs, 18-27. At the end of the game, the passing, Arizona State had more passing, 271-176 to the Bruins. The running game, they got over 100 yards in there as well. But if you look at how the Bruins did in the first half, the defense, it was just way better. Only 146 total yards in the first half for the Sun Devils, and, like, you know, it was like 80 running and 60 passing. So, I mean, you'll totally take that. And then, like I said, even through the third quarter, they were playing it pretty tough, and the fourth quarter was kind of like open up the floodgates because of a lot of things, you know, whether it was DTR going out and the Sun Devils just kind of getting a little bit more. But the Bruins get that stop after on their second drive, stop that 3rd-and-8, and then DTR comes out and has that horrible fumble inside the 5-yard line. That gets ASU a score, and so it's at that point it's 7-7, and you're like, still, you know, the Bruins have looked all right, but this is one of those ones where it's like, are they going to give this one away because of mistakes, even though it looks like they're the better team on the field? And it turns out no. The Bruins come out, and on their third drive, I don't know if you remember, but it started with a really scary, kind of a nice throw from DTR to Asiasi down the sideline, but it was narrowly broken up and could have very easily been intercepted. So they kind of got lucky on that one. And then Felton gets stuffed, And then they have an out-of-bounds play to Chase Cota that's ruled out of bounds. But one of those just kind of turning points in the game gets overturned. They get new life. And then DTR ends up scrambling a couple times. They get a fourth down conversion. And then Josh Kelly finishes it off. And they end up going up 14-7. And that was the end of the first quarter. And it was like from that point forward, they really didn't seize, didn't give up the control of the game, right? Arizona ends up punting. And then on UCLA's next drive, that's when we actually see Kaz Allen out there. Felton and Kelly run it down pretty good. They get another fourth down conversion. That's when that walk-on for Nia makes that terrific catch on that fourth and three. And then you get like another kind of big play for the Bruins in that there's a bailout on a personal foul call, but then Josh Kelly punches it in on that one. Now all of a sudden it's 21-7. And then the Bruins come out on defense, get that huge fourth down stop. Bruins get another score, and then, you know, 28-7, end of the half. And that's really like, you know, they're going to get the ball coming out at the end or at the beginning of the third quarter. They come out, they get that score. It's 35-7. At that point, kind of the route's on. And really nothing that the Bruins did after that really mattered too much. Of course, down the stretch, they allowed Arizona State to get back into the game with the fumbles and DTR and Kaz fumbling. DTR has the injury. But that really was kind of the story of the game. And it's funny, I was texting with Michael and Alicia from Reign of Troy because they weren't watching the game, but they're asking me, they're like, oh man, we see the score. Is UCLA good again? I was telling them that, I don't know. I was hoping that they were watching it so I could ask them, because on one hand, UCLA made some very good plays, and Josh Kelly looked sensational, and DTR, you know, in moments looked fantastic as well. And then you had all these other playmakers on the field for the Bruins contributing, but at the same time, it was like, all of the 50-50 plays kind of went the Bruins' way in the first half, and that allowed them to kind of to break open the lead. And when there could have been a turning point, it kind of like they kind of got a little bit lucky, right? But part of that is because they got lucky, and part of that is because they were playing so aggressively that they kind of made their own luck. And so I really am of kind of two minds with that. Arizona State certainly could have made this closer earlier, and down the stretch they kind of got it together. But I certainly I think this is more of a good Bruin win than it is a lucky Bruin win or a bad Arizona State loss. I think I'm in that camp. But still, it's one of those ones where it's like, they still are playing Jaden Daniels. He's still a freshman. It's not like he made some good plays. This game wasn't on him. But, you know, the Arizona State offense made so many mistakes and so many, you know, like dumb personal fouls and so many kind of like just dumb plays. It seemed like that you're like, you know, still, you know, is UCLA really getting better? Or they just kind of, is the luck evening out, I guess, as to, you know, how it was earlier, you know, because you could say that they were tremendously unlucky against Cincinnati. They're tremendously unlucky in a couple of other games. And then of course the Washington State game happens, and that was nothing but fortunate luck the entire, you know, for the whole end of the fourth quarter. They were blessed in that game, right? So it's like, you're still wondering, but certainly when you came out of the last game against Stanford, you're like, well, the offense is getting it together. I think you could definitely say that. And the defense, the jury is still completely out because Stanford was so bad. Well, after this game, I think you have to say that, well, the offense certainly is better than it was last week, and hopefully better going forward. And that's, of course, depending on what's happening with DTR. But there are things that they are doing now that just look good, that, you know, just no question about it. By the way, it was nice for them to go back to that Washington State Cougar play on DTR's last touchdown pass. That was a beautiful thing. And then on the defensive side, you have to say that, you know, 2 weeks in a row, even though you can say Stanford was horrible, they took advantage of it. And you can say for most of this game, Arizona State did not play very well, but they certainly took advantage of it. And, you know, they have to go in the category of a pretty damn good defensive performance by UCLA again. And you know, so it's like, you know, well, you know, certainly you'd have to say this is progress. You know, I don't think you can look past that now. It's just like, how much progress, you know, who the heck knows? But looking down the road, you have to look at, you know, kind of two aspects. Number one, you just have what's left on the Bruins' schedule. And, you know, you'd have to say, you know, they have Colorado at the Rose Bowl. And then, you know, you saw Colorado give USC everything they could hope for. Colorado's not a horrifically bad team, and they very easily could come into the Rose Bowl and, you know, Laviska Shenault and could give them fits along with Steve Montez if he plays like they did against SC most of that game. But now you'd say that UCLA, you can see them having a really good chance in that game. And like you, if you told me the Bruins won that game like they won this game against Arizona State, I don't think anybody would be surprised at this point. So, I mean, that could be, you know, a third win in a row from them. And that would be a good thing. At Utah, there's still, like, I don't think there's any way you can sell anybody on that. So you have to expect that's going to be a loss. And then you finish off at USC and Cal at home. And at worst, you'd say they could split those games. So, I mean, realistically, you know, the Bruins are realistically looking at getting to five wins with a good shot. I mean, a good shot now at going to a bowl. I mean, if they can beat Colorado and Cal, right? You think you'd have to say that they're probably going to be favored in those home games at this point. And then, you know, they can get SC. I mean, they're going to be playing SC for a bowl game, really, when you look at it, if they can get past this Colorado game. And when you look at that, it's kind of funny because, you know, we're going to get, just like a couple years ago when they played SC but lost to Stanford in the finale. I hate these stupid things where the Cal or Stanford game is after the SC game. That is just not cool. But, if we can count on the Bruins versus Colorado and Cal, they're playing SC for a bowl game, which is kind of a bizarro thing at that point. I mean, God knows, SC might be winning the Pac-12 at that point, or Pac-12 South at that point, or they might be in a huge tailspin themselves, and they might have a new coach or an interim coach or whatever. So, I mean, that is a really weird deal. But at the very least, considering where the Bruins were just a couple weeks ago, you know, 1-5, and I'm playing backwards satanic Chip Kelly sucks quotes, I think that this is pretty nice. Now, the other way you have to look at the season is, goddamn, what a missed opportunity, because the game against Arizona should have been a win. The game against Oregon State, if you don't spot them 21 points, you figure they probably had a good chance of winning that game too. And it's just, you just have to shake your head at that, because that is just such a missed opportunity. Even just splitting those games, and they're, you know, then they really are in the mix for the Pac-12 South, at least. Obviously, they're not going to have any other aspirations other than that. But I mean, at least it would be fun. But even so, they're solidly in the mix for the Pac-12 South right now. You just have to assume that once they most likely lose to Utah, you know, with that third loss, they're probably gonna be out of the championship mix, because they're behind the Trojans and the Utes right now. So on one hand, it's kind of like the same story as last year, where we're like, hey, we're excited Chip Kelly's here, and oh shit, they just started 0-6 or whatever. And then, oh, they show a little bit of improvement, and look, oh, the future's bright. And then they come out and they suck, you know, just terribly the first part of this year. And then they give us a little bit of life with Washington State, and they drop those two games. And now they win two games, and all of a sudden you can kind of squint your eyes and kind of be a little more confident or inspired, or however you're going to feel. I don't think you can, you know, there's nothing definitive yet. I don't think anybody can make that reasonable argument. The only thing I know is that, you know, the running game looks like it's back in shape, which is good. You know, that's one thing. The Arizona State team was not a pushover in that regard. So, you know, by the way, neither was Stanford. So now you have, for the fourth consecutive game, the Bruins go over 200 yards rushing. That's 217 versus Arizona, 256 versus Oregon State, 263 versus Stanford, and 217 tonight versus the Sun Devils. And all of those games except for tonight, you know, over 5 yards per attempt. And tonight, you could say, you know, they went backwards quite a bit in the fourth quarter. I think, you know, the meat of that game, they were well over 5 yards, or even if they weren't, they were close to it. And this is not against the cellar dwellers, these last two. Arizona State, second in the conference against the run, only giving up 3 yards per carry and only giving up 100 yards a game. Stanford, as bad as they've been, they only give up 4 yards per carry and 140 yards per game for the season. So, you know, that's a pretty good sign for the Bruins. Obviously, Arizona and Oregon State much worse against the run, but the Bruins are doing against kind of a full swath of conference opponents. So you can say definitively that is working. And then I you know, I think with DTR, he's still makes a couple of kind of wonky plays per game, but I think the positive is way outweighing the negative at this point, and you just got to hope that that injury is not too bad. Like I said, once again, I saw him walking gingerly down on the sideline. I came out with a giant ice pack, and by the time you know you hear this, maybe we'll have a report, but I seriously doubt it because you know how forthcoming Chip Kelly is with all of those reports.
Chip Kelly,
but let's hope for the best. And coming down the stretch, I mean, they got a game against Colorado. I think, you very easily see them losing that, but yeah, you very easily see them winning that now, too. Check out the What's Brewing Hotline. We got a call, and let's play that right now. And, of course, call What's Brewing Hotline and let us know what you think. That number, of course, is 805-399-4WBS. Suck it, Reina Troy. By the way, Reina Troy was gracious enough to take me out to a nice dinner at Tam O'Shanter the other day, and we had a good old time, and I really enjoyed that. But suck it anyway, and call the What's Brewing Hotline. Here's Michael with not Michael Castillo, but caller Michael with something about the game.
Michael, here's something. I'm brewing again. Hey, man. So glad we got the win against ASU. I wasn't able to watch the game because stupid Pac-12 network isn't on DirecTV, so I couldn't get a hold of my brother to get me a Spectrum password until the end of the game. But it looks like we throttled them. It was a great game. Got kind of scary at the end. But things are going good, man. It looks great. I hope Dorian Thompson Robinson feels better, gets himself healed, and on to Colorado.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And yeah, the Pac-12 network, I mean, if UCLA beats ASU on the Pac-12 network, does it actually count? And all I could say is, yeah, it does, and that's good, even though nobody can actually watch it. It was kind of fun, though, walking in the Rose Bowl. Number one, BFA All Day was doing a nice promotion with, I guess they had a bunch of volunteers from the LAPD or maybe some community kids or something. But I pulled in my new usual spot in the parking lot. There was 20 LAPD passenger vans, and they were doing some event with BFA. If anybody from BFA is listening, let us know what you were doing, and we'll give you a shout-out next week. Know what kind of good works you guys are doing in the community. But that was happening on the south end of the Rose Bowl. And then also Pac-12 network, even though, of course, none of you guys could see it out there because nobody gets Pac-12 network, right? But they had their whole stadium show, pregame thing up. And so when we got there, when we walked in, it was right before game time. So they were still broadcasting, but there wasn't a crowd out front. I'm hoping they got enough of a decent crowd to do a nice background shot at the Rose Bowl. There were some people out there in the south end, so they probably could have. Obviously they're going to shoot that with a narrow shot, I think, to try to make the crowd look as big as possible. Once again, nice win for the Bruins. I'm watching Washington State just throw a pick, and Oregon just got it down inside the red zone. I'm sorry, they just had a pick six. So now Oregon's up on Washington State. We'll see if that can hold. It's only the second quarter, so we'll see. Once again, weird, wacky Pac-12. What are you going to do? The Bruins, at least, if they're going to be not knowing how the Chip Kelly era is going so far, at least they're not. Nobody else in the Pac-12 South is really going gangbusters either right now. So if they can get it together, they should be able to do something good at some point. Hopefully, we don't have to go through another. Hopefully, year three isn't going to be another 0-4, 1-5, 1-6 start or whatever. But we still have some games left just this year, and who knows? I mean, could the Bruins possibly make their way into going bowling? Who knows? I mean, that's what's next, right? Till next time, go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
I'm happy that UCLA won.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Thank you for your cooperation.
The final word is boob.